Hello, everyone. Welcome to Prusa Live. I'm Matt Stoltz, and with me is Mikla Zusa and Joseph Prusa. Thank you for joining us for Prusa Live 30. We've got a great show for you today. Lots of news and things to talk about, and a fantastic guest, Natalie, who you will all know as 3D Print Bunny, who's been making some amazing models up on Prusa Printers. So we will talk to her in a bit. To get started, let's talk about our Prusa Printers picks. Joe, what do you got?
So I have this awesome flower watering thingy. What is the exact name? I don't remember.
Watering bulbs. Yeah.
So it is a watertight print, and you stick it into the planter, and it will water it. But what is pretty cool is that even though I'm putting it upside down, it still, because it's watertight, doesn't just run out.
Yeah, if you shake it, it.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah. Thanks. That's nice. Yeah. So we have a
last time Joe's invited to be in studio with Mickey.
Yeah. So if you just stick it in
like that.
Yeah. Nice.
And it will keep watering the plant for, I don't know, a week maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah. I would guess that this plant might need a little bigger one.
This actually really doesn't. This plant doesn't like being overwatered, so.
So I think should I take it out?
You can leave it in.
On top of your lap. Let's leave it in.
We got into a little bit of a pickle here.
Yeah, so that was one of the really popular entries in our gardening contest from a few months ago.
It was, yeah. So it's by Conrayer. hard to go through the thing.
Conrayer.
But he has like several designs, and yeah, they're solid. You print them in the waste mode.
Mm.
Super cool.
Very nice. Yeah, those look great. And it's nice in the clear. Was that just natural PETG that one was printed in? It's nice in the clear, because then you also know when the bulb is running out and it's time to refill your bulb.
Exactly.
Although I can imagine, is it difficult to fill up, or do you just submerge it under and it fills fairly well in a bucket?
As you can imagine, yeah.
Yeah.
Difficult to fill up.
Yeah.
maybe get a giant syringe.
Yeah. Yeah, that actually seems like it would work very well.
That's a good idea.
They make the ones for like basting turkeys that actually like hold a decent amount of fluid and things. But
we don't have things like that here in Europe.
You should be like a developer or something. That's like, you know, quick thinking.
Oh.
Matt, what do you have?
Okay, I'll go next. Sure. This is, speaking of contest entries, this is one of the entries from our most recent contest, our Timekeepers contest.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah, so this is the Minimalist Analog Clock by Sunny Print. And
very nice.
I printed it in Mystic Brown, Mystic Green, Prusament Silver, and Oh My Gold. There should be a second hand too, but the mechanism that I have doesn't really work with their second hand. I need to modify the second hand a little bit to be able to fit on there and work with this clock mechanism. But yeah, so it's got a off-the-shelf clock mechanism in the back, so it's actually pretty easy to print and put together. It's a super cool clock, and I set it for prog time, so I can keep track of
that's fun.
What time you guys
nice.
Have.
Nice, yeah, and anyone can print this.
Yeah,
some of the entries are I wouldn't dare to print.
We'll get there very quickly with
right.
the winner's
right.
announcement.
But this one actually, everything fits on the Mini too, so scales perfectly to fit on the Mini. So if you have a Mark III or a Mini or, you know, just about anything out there, this is an easy print. And yeah, I think it's a very lovely clock.
Nice.
I'm just quirking up over the comment. Mikolas and Joe's plant caretaking show. maybe Mikolas, we should do that.
Yeah, we're just gonna cancel this, and we're just gonna talk about plants and 3D printed stuff.
Yeah,
for
yeah.
You could do an entire farming show with the llamas and the alpacas and the sheep and the bees and when
I have some more time and some of the devs have more time, I would like to do hydroponic Japanese strawberries. Nice. Because Japanese
strawberries. You keep talking about these Japanese strawberries.
Yeah.
So definitely something I have to try. The funny part about that comment is, like, literally as we were getting ready for the show, we were talking about the cucumbers that Mickey was growing. So, like, the entire prep for things was a conversation about gardening. So this is not far from actuality. All right, Mickey, what do you have for us this week?
I have a model from our guest, and I'm not gonna hear you for 1 second to demonstrate it. Yeah, it's a headphone holder by, you guessed it, 3D Print Bunny. And yeah, it's,
nice.
This one is, she has like several of them, but this one is Star Trek themed because Star Trek is awesome, right?
Yes.
So yeah, it looks cool, and now I can leave it in the studio and my headphones will no longer be just flopping everywhere like they usually do.
There you go, perfect place to keep your headphones.
Yeah, so do I have that open? I do as well. So Star Trek headphone stand by 3D Print Bunny on Prusa Printers. I will try to paste all the links in the chat now.
Fantastic. All right, so moving on to news. So a couple of shows ago, we introduced you all to the SL1S, the new variety of the SL1 that the S stands for speed, the super fast version. Good news is, for all of those of you that pre-ordered, we are shipping, which is fantastic.
We just had a question about that in chat. It was in Czech, so it might not everyone might have got it, but yeah.
Yeah.
No delays.
No,
amazing.
No delays, but there is a slight shipping queue because we hold off some of the orders, the SL1 orders, before we actually released it, and we upgraded everything for free. So there is still a chunk of people which will be shipped before the first orders, which were done after the launch. But it is going, as usual.
If you go to help.prusafree.com and you type in shipping and click the shipping information article, I don't think it's there yet, but either later today or tomorrow, I believe, there will be like a shipping table like we do for the Mini or the Mark III. There will be a shipping table for the SL1.
Yes.
So if you're in the queue and you want to know roughly when your order is going out, this will give you the information.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
So, that's nice.
Very exciting news.
Yeah.
It'll be exciting to see more people with the SL1S and what they're doing with it. That, you know, some of the beta users out there have been posting a lot, especially Krusty, about, you know, some super fast prints and things like that. But it'll be great to see, as those are more in the wild, what everyone's doing there.
Indeed.
Fantastic. To go along with the shipping of the SL1S, Prusa Slicer 2.3.2 has been released.
Yes, mostly relevant for the SL1S users because that's now in the wizard and everything, but also some slight improvements for everyone else. The latest hot news, there's apparently a bug for the MMU slicing that got through to this release. So it is possible that we will do like a hotfix release or something. Mm. It only affects MMU users, but it still kind of, you know, sucks that it's in the final release. So it's possible that we will do
a patch release.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just so.
And version 2.4 is nearing public beta.
Alpha probably. Yeah, but yeah.
Public alpha. Yes.
Yeah.
So for all of you that are super excited and waiting for the features of 2.4, we are very close to getting something for you to play with out there.
It may sound a little bit underwhelming hearing about 2.31 and 2.32, so that's not everything we've worked on. Like 2.4 is pretty big release. It just takes longer as those big releases usually do. So stay tuned for that.
Fantastic. Okay, so let's talk about contests.
Yes.
Shall we?
Let's do that.
So. All right. So as I mentioned when I was talking about my clock, our latest contest to just end was our Timekeepers contest. And we've got the winners picked. So let's talk about who we have. With the Timekeepers contest, we opened it up. It's clocks, it's calendars, it's timers, anything that helped you keep track of time. And we wanted to make sure that just big, fancy, mechanical masterpieces weren't the only things that would win, but also, you know, things that just looked nice had an opportunity too. So we not only have one first place prize, we have two first place prize, one for best mechanical entry and one for kind of best, you know, aesthetic design entry. So who is our winner for best mechanical there, Mickey?
So the best mechanical, and yeah, this one is absolutely insane.
Yeah.
That's kind of, Joe, what you were talking about. And
yes.
It's the Bird Mechanical World Clock by Herald. And yeah.
Yeah, but I think this one is manageable. But the ones with the turbo, how do you say?
Four X's turbo.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah, so this one is really both, you know, complex, but also really nice to look at. So.
Yeah, it's got a nice aesthetic too, and as I mentioned in the article, I think that it's fun because the bird with the clock kind of, you know, signifies the old adage time flies, and so I liked the kind of symbolism there too.
Now, do we have? Yes.
Yeah.
Show me the running. That's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yes. Yeah,
so there rather than a clock that normally has, you know, kind of the hours, the minutes, and the seconds all on one display, this actually has three different displays displaying the hours, the minutes, and the seconds. And so you kind of look at them separately, which is, you know, pretty neat.
Do we have, I think that's Harl Anderson in chat who won. So congrats. Really nice to see you watching.
Congratulations.
Very nice design. Okay, and
we loved it, and as soon as we saw it, it was pretty well locked in. So yeah, thank you very much for that entry.
You and the original Brucia Mini Plus.
Yeah. Okay, and so for our best design, so again, design here being kind of more aesthetic, you know, thinking about design. What do we have?
We have the Sunflower Clock by Romano Ruggeri. Just look at it. Also, super pretty.
Yeah, I think this one really helps in his entry, the colors that he chose too. But I can't wait to see other makes of this and see what other color combinations that people choose to work with this clock, because I think it really lends itself to.
Oh, is it like?
There's already some in there.
This is probably a render, but like a nice sneak peek of how it would look with black and some gold elements.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. It has a fun, especially the hands have a fun, like, mid-century modern retro vibe to them this is definitely a clock that will, you know, look nice in pretty much anyone's home. So it's a piece that you would normally kind of go out and buy, and you can just make it yourself, which is really fantastic. It's the dream, right?
Okay, so moving to the runner-up.
Yeah, second place.
Second place, and it was so hard picking the winners again, but the second place is ridiculous as well. It's the Split Flap Display by David Kingsman. I believe this is like more than a clock, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's got 10 segments inside of it. All of them are full alphanumeric, and so not only can it tell time, but you could like stream tweets to it, or, you know, have other messages that go by there. They have the date. And technically, I think, you know, it would be tricky, but 10 isn't kind of the upper limit on this thing. You could have it have more displays. And yeah, there was a little video that you were showing that kind of shows how a split flop works, from the side view there. But unfortunately, what gets lost in these little GIFs is the sound.
The sound is, the sound is
that
amazing.
Split flaps, flip dots, like any kind of electromechanical display, they just have these fantastic sounds to them that, just instantly takes me back to like being in train stations and, being excited to get on the next train or things like that. So yeah, I love it. I think it's great. I can't wait to see what people do with this.
Can you hear it?
I cannot.
Okay. It's very quiet.
Yeah.
But it's just so cool.
Yeah, it is. It is fantastic. And yeah, everything about judging this contest, especially for me, was just so hard because I loved so many of these entries. And yeah, that split flap was definitely up there. All right. So in third place, we have the Time Twister.
Time Twister by Hans.
Oh, this one is also awesome.
Yeah. It's
yeah.
Really smart.
It is. It's almost all the other entries that we saw were kind of designs that you were used to for seeing for clocks.
Mm-hmm.
This was one of the things that was kind of a more unique take on, what a clock could be.
Like, I think the really smart realization here is that you only need, three different variations per each line, per each digit to create every number possible. Which, I would not think about that just, thinking about design. It's really smart.
Yeah. Yeah. The one thing about this one is it's a big boy. If you look at the main image with it where it's sitting beside a Mark III, like it's a big clock, so you are dedicating some space to having this clock.
Yeah,
but that also means in certain areas it's going to be very readable, so
so cool. Yeah,
it's gorgeous, it's so cool. Yes. So thank you to everyone who entered. Again, really, really amazing entries. We do have some other kind of prizes there for entries that you guys liked. So those will actually each receive a $50 eShop gift card. And yeah, there's so many. I went back through last night and I was like, I need to make a bunch of these.
Yes.
My house is going to be filled with clocks.
I have one like that I want to give shout out to because it didn't get any prize, and I think it's like you will overlook it the first time, but it's beautiful.
It was a almost coin toss for me between the clock that I made today for my pick and making that one.
I'm definitely printing this one. You can tell it's, a designer made this. It's so clean. You can see the sketches of, thinking about the shape and the other furniture pieces that drive the design. And also there's, I don't know if I can show it right now. Really nice technical drawing. The exploded view. Let me see. Come on, PDF. You can do it. You can open. Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice.
I really appreciate this.
Yeah.
It's like one.
That looks really great.
One image and, all the assembly and so clean. Yeah. So that's just my little shout out to that kind of tells you how many cool designs were in the competition.
Yeah.
I think
in his files, he also has a 3MF file. Oh, you closed it. I think that one also had a 3MF file for the color print version of it so that you could you could run it all in color print mode, which was really nice.
Yeah, so if you go to block on Prusa Printers, you can go through through the article that we just released about the winners. So congrats again to everyone. We were really quite amazed with all the entries.
Yeah, totally blew us away. Thank you very much.
Good job, everyone.
Yeah. All right. So if one contest ends, another contest must begin.
Indeed. Yeah. So we have a new topic for the next contest. I'm just going to quickly publish the article as well.
All right. While you're doing that, our next contest is games and puzzles, tabletop games and puzzles very specifically. So board games, dice games, card games. We want to see your game creations.
I would say this is a perfect preparation for upcoming fall and winter.
Yeah.
So yeah. By the time the contest ends, you can start printing and you have plenty to do.
Yeah, it's also, you know, a nice during the summer. Lots of people are going, you know, going on family vacations and you know, heading to the beach and spending times together and, you know, things like that. You know, heading out to their cabins as Mickey has been doing and spending time with his family. And yeah. it's nice to have some board games to play. And so there's already some great entries already on Prusa Printers. But we want to see what you guys have in store for it. So that is going to run through the end of August. Get your entries in. You have a chance to win a original Prusa Mark 3S Plus. Kit.
Yes.
Gotta put all the things on the end there. So
okay, I think we've bubbled for long enough. Let's bring in our guest.
Yeah, it's definitely time for Natalie. All right, fantastic. As I mentioned before, our guest today is Natalie Cheeseman. She is 3D Print Bunny on Prusa Printers. She makes lots of, as Mickey showed, lots of pop culture referenced, actually lots of things that are useful but still have that kind of pop culture reference, like that headphone holder. But recently she's been doing some fun kind of very unique prints that are kind of outside a lot of what we've seen before. So Natalie, thank you for joining us.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yeah. I'd also like to point out she is a huge champ for being on the show today. Natalie is based in Australia, so it is 4 a.m. Her time for this show. So we thank her very much for hauling out of bed to come join us. So thank you. So you have lots of designs, lots of different things on Prusa Printers. Do you have any particular favorites? Anything?
I think at the moment I kind of go in fads, and at the moment I love the string vases and playing with those.
Yeah.
The last one that's on.
Oh yeah.
As I was mentioning, you kind of have these techniques that we don't really see a lot of other people out there making, like the string vases, and this one shows up horribly on camera. But this is one of the loopy tea light holders.
We have a video for Natalie.
Wow.
Right. And so these two particular vases that you're showing here, these are brand new ones that you just created for coming on the show.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Can I download it?
Although this one's a little bit delicate. But that one's not too bad.
So how do you make them be stringy on a purpose in the places where you want them to be stringy?
Well, I happened upon the idea because I was trying to do loops, the loop thing that Matt just showed, but not using vase mode. So I was trying to sort of get Prusa Slicer to slice something where there was just a loop. Mm-hmm. And what I was finding was that it always started to print the loop over thin air, so it would just fall off. And I figured the only way I could get it to do that is if I take a layer out and then put a single layer of filament in that layer. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
And then hopefully the layer above would stick to the one below, and it worked. And didn't work to do loops at all, but it worked to make really nice stringy vases. So yeah. Then I started doing those instead.
Happy accident.
Yeah,
absolutely. Serendipity.
Yeah, it's always nice to see, like you say, new techniques, or you know, these happy accidents that become new techniques, because people just start playing with things and not just kind of sticking with the, you know, this is the way we do it. And you know, I think this kind of idea is a lot of what has moved 3D printing forward so much in, you know, in the past 10 years is people just saying like, I'm going to try something totally different and see what happens.
I think it came partly as well because I wasn't very good at using the slicer, because I'm sure there's a way of choosing where the printer starts to print the bit that you want to print. So there's probably a way of doing it so that you could make those loops without having an empty layer. But because I didn't know how to do it, this was sort of my solution to it. So.
It looks like it shouldn't be printable.
Right.
Yeah.
But it is.
Yeah, they are very, very interesting.
I think it's a small miracle that this prints to like as well as it does.
they print quite easily, actually. They're not, you don't have to tune anything in. It's just the basic profile. Mm-hmm. The only thing you have to do is make sure you've said where you want your seam. Because obviously, if you sort of set it to rear on that one, then half the time it wouldn't work.
Yeah, so are you using paint on seam or anything like that for?
I didn't know that existed. If I do aligned, it seems to work out that the darts where there is something on the row below. So
yeah, very neat. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's super cool. One of your other recent models that I think is rather fun is you did the pendulum wave model.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got that. I probably can't. Yeah. Demonstrate it very well, but I'll give it a go. Shaky hands.
Yeah,
so cool.
It's so cool.
I would not do any work if I had this on my table. I would just
waste
an hour every day just watching this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could definitely see engineers at the factory like figuring out how to make an auto resetter so that it just constantly kept on going. And
don't
so.
Give us ideas.
Yeah, we have plenty on our table now.
That might kind of work well with like the clock idea, right? Where like something spins around every once in a while, picks it back up, and when it forces over, but it still takes enough time to get back around to force it around again.
That sounds really cool. I don't know whether I'm technical enough to do that. I have these big ideas, but I mean that the pendulum wave came from some really cool art that I saw online. This artist who does kinetic artworks, sculptures, enormous ones,
yeah.
And they're just amazing. And that's where the idea came from. And slowly my expectations went down and down until I actually found something that I could visualize and actually make. But it would be amazing to make some of the stuff that he did. It was, so cool.
Well, yeah, it definitely seems like you're far on your way with coming up with some of those things. There was a little thumbnail that was in there that made me think of another one. You actually had probably my favorite calendar from the recent Timekeepers contest. I really loved the calendar that you came up with, which is the flip calendar.
That's on my it's on my desk, but it's just falling apart.
We have it on three.
Yeah, screens. I think there's the video. There's the video there that shows how it works, which might actually be even easier. Yeah, and again, something that's a fairly easy print because, you know, it's all single color prints and, you know, flat, easy things to print, but the that variation of the colors of doing every other just does such a fun aesthetic to it.
Yeah. It looks like candy.
Yeah, I want
it does.
I want to eat it.
Yeah, it's like a peppermint.
Forbidden candy.
Yeah, it kind of epitomized, yeah, because I haven't been printing for very long. And one of the, when I started designing things, that was one of the things that I really wanted to do was to make things that were relatively easy to print. Because yeah. I started designing before I even sort of knew what supports were. And so it was sort of, okay, let's make things that are easy for new people coming into this to print successfully, to print, you know.
And I think that's something really great about a lot of the work that you're doing is it's stuff that is extremely aesthetically pleasing, but is very very easy for novices to 3D printing to pull off. You know, as we were kind of talking about in the Timekeepers contest of like, you know, there are some really amazing and beautiful clocks out there that are a challenge for people to have to like print all the parts and get everything right and then the assembly and everything else. But you are making things that still look very nice, but are not not outside the realm of someone who just got their first printer and are getting started. And, you know, I think that's really a really nice place to be in the community.
I think it comes from, you know, sort of, I felt when I discovered, you know, 3D printing, discovered these things online, you can download all these different things to print. And I was sort of really excited. And then you kind of have this slow realization that not everything on there actually is completely printable.
Mm-hmm.
And not everything, you know, turns out quite the way it looks on the thing. So that's where it came from. And that Star Trek headphone stand that you showed earlier, Mickey, was one of the first things that we did. I was so chuffed with that. I was really pleased that it actually worked.
This one was actually
super easy to print. This part has one tiny little piece of support for the piece sticking out of it. But yeah, I actually wanted to do a color change for the front, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I forgot to click. I was sure the color change is planned, but it was just finished on the printer. So yeah, I don't know what's up with that. Maybe one of my colleagues was like, oh, his printer has stopped and you know, just skipped it or something. I mean, it turns out it still looks amazing, but yeah, it was a surprise for me how this came up.
Yeah, it's nice. It's really great.
What do you use for designing those pieces, yeah. Natalie?
Oh, yeah, I use Tinkercad nearly all the time.
Really?
I did a Blender course about 2 or 3 months ago and discovered some wonderful things. So I use Blender a bit more now, but I still find Tinkercad is the most instinctive thing for me. I'm not I've come to this completely new over the last year and a half, and I don't know. It just I tried a few other things. I'd really like to learn to use Fusion so that I can sort of probably do things much more easily than I do them in Tinkercad.
I'm impressed that you know made such complex models in Tinkercad, because I agree that Tinkercad is perfect for newcomers.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with Tinkercad, even for experienced users. If you want to make a quick bracket, it's just so fast.
Yeah, it's so fast.
But I can't imagine to make the vases you made in Tinkercad.
I can show you.
Please. I mean, that's sort of the thing, like the old paint in Microsoft Windows. People made like Mona Lisa's in it. So, yeah.
Can you see that?
Yeah, we can see that.
Oh, yeah. So you've got the basic vase, and then see, nothing will move now. You do, there you go, layers of those are my empty layers that I put the vase into and creates the empty layers. And then this is,
I would love to see the reaction of the Tinkercad engineer. this doesn't crash the browser.
Yeah.
But you know what? Tinkercad, as long as you know its limitations, I think is better. Like, I crash more often with Blender than I do with Tinkercad.
Oh, Mikola.
I mean, that's pretty fair. I have Blender crashing on me pretty often as well. But most of the time, I'm like, okay, that's on me. Like 15 million triangles or something.
I mean, but yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I guess, yeah, I used to Adobe Premiere. So nothing beats that.
True. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I do occasionally use Prusa Slicer to actually combine models when the two models are too big to both put into Tinkercad to combine them. So, and then you export the plate and it works like that. So, I mean, this just shows what a novice I am in these things. You know, as I say, I'm sure there are much easier ways to do things, but that's where I'm at the moment. So, yeah,
I mean, I've got honestly, a learning ahead of me. You know, Fusion, like you talked about Fusion, it's super quirky as well when you try to make it these things. So I'm not really sure you would find it, you know, better or something. It might be that Tinkercad is a good tool for something like this.
Yeah, doing large Boolean operations like that in Fusion can bog Fusion down real quick.
He doesn't like it.
So, yeah.
Blender too. I mean, I couldn't do that in Blender. I did have a go at it, but yeah, it seems to be okay. I mean, it takes a little while. You have to kind of set it going and then do something else for a bit and come back to it sometimes.
Yeah. In Blender, you have like multiple solvers, I believe now. So sometimes it's the like matter of clicking like buttons, different solvers, and it's just like doesn't work. And then it's just like, this one works. I don't know why, but it works. I'm not going to complain about it.
I haven't played with Blender for a while.
Yeah. They have an experimental 3.0 branch, which is super fast. It's nice.
Very nice. So question I ask all of our designers that come on, do you have any other kind of tools or anything else that are like part of your workflow to make everything go, whether that's, you know, do you use a tablet or, you know, a space mouse, or do you use any other kind of piece of software that's like your thing? I'm maybe being presumptive, but I'm guessing probably no, if like your go-to is Tinkercad.
Yeah. I think I'm a big believer in using sort of like stuff that's out there. So I use some of the online things. I use, you know, things like things that convert pictures into SVGs, that kind of thing. That's all done, you know, with the freebies online. And at the moment I'm playing the bubble vase, this vase that I did recently.
Yeah.
I'm playing with using lithophanes to create uneven surfaces. So this is something else. Oh, you can't see the.
I saw that and I love that model. It's a chopstick.
So this is like a chopstick holder. Or I thought you could use it, put a certificate or something like that in there as well. Like, stuff like that.
Good for knitting needles too, for the crafting world. Yeah.
But yeah, this idea of using a lithophane, because you get, instead of, you know, if you convert an SVG and put it into Tinkercad, you get a nice flat surface. But if you have a pencil drawing or something like that and you create a lithophane from that and then use that lithophane, you get the mottled texture of the pencil. Which is really nice, and this is, I mean, this is from a photograph of bubbles, and you've got, you know, so you.
That's smart.
You know, and so you do a lithophane of that, and then fill the lithophane in, and then print it in vase mode. So it's doing this. Yeah. So I and that's just if it's litho, you know, or any of the lithophane ones, you can do it in Blender as well. But yeah, and that was another thing I've been sort of playing with.
Maybe one day you'll be able to do it in Prusa Slicer directly.
That would be really cool.
That would be. I know that one of the devs is definitely playing with some super cool stuff that I don't think it's going to be 2.4, but maybe 2.5. We'll see.
Very cool.
Give that.
Very, very neat. Well, thank you very much for showing off what you're working on and things. That was super cool. I love your models. I love the things that you're working on. I was very happy to have you on.
You say you're a beginner to modeling, right. But I would argue like your ideas, even though you maybe are using like simpler design tools, are so smart that me after like I don't know how many years of designing, I wouldn't have thought about some of the models. So
it's a great thing as different people come in and have different perspectives and different ideas, like how just one person can kind of, you know, bring in new ideas that totally change what everyone's doing. And like Mickey says, you refer to yourself as a beginner. I cannot wait to see what you're coming up with when you start to feel that you're no longer a beginner and are even intermediate before even an expert. So
no pressure.
No pressure.
So, super excited to see what else is to come. And we really thank you for coming on the show. It was
thank you so much for
having you. Okay. Hopefully you can get some more sleep or get a really good start to your day. So cool. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Ah, so cool. So yeah, I didn't realize like how short of a period of time she had been really involved. I mean, I kind of realized that like I wasn't really seeing things from her from a long time ago, but like it didn't really click to me of like, oh, she's only really been designing for like a year and a half.
It's super impressive for being in the hobby for such a short time.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, like the like droop loops and stuff, like we had seen some other kind of droop loop techniques before, with like there were some droop loop flowers and things, but you know, to start adding it to texture to things and then for that to convert over to, you know, these stringy prints is just super neat.
Ethan's dead in chat, like you already kind of said that, Matt, but yeah, it's true. Maybe because she isn't in the hobby for so long, she's more open to just, you know, wild ideas because she's not so locked in the meta of how we do things.
This is how you do it. Yeah.
Yeah, she just doesn't care. You know, I'm new to this. I'm going to do whatever I want.
Right.
Yeah.
She's nice.
Yeah, I remember that when I started 11 years ago.
Yeah.
I have no idea what I'm doing, so I made stuff differently.
Yeah. Why does this need three different screws? I'm just going to use one.
If you look at what even you were doing, you know, way back in the day with like OpenSCAD, like no one was using OpenSCAD to kind of the degree and the level that you were doing stuff.
Yeah, I mean, because for me, like 3D modeling with a mouse is too difficult for me.
Yeah, so instead you use OpenSCAD, which is easier, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, I think our camera just died. Yeah.
Yeah, you just lost your video.
Yeah. Uh-oh. I mean, we are still here, technically.
Yes. But
can you hear us?
Yeah, they can hear us.
Yeah, we can hear you, but we can't see you.
Yeah.
Can you still screen share? Because we can at least.
Mikolas is swapping the battery.
It's a pit stop, like, you know, in Formula One or something.
Yeah, hot swap. Oh, there we go. All right, we're back.
Here is the culprit.
Yeah.
Again, it's always something when you're doing it live, right?
I was expecting this to happen, but what you're going to do, the stream already started, and I realized the battery is only like, I haven't changed it before the stream.
I mean, this is a small hiccup.
Yeah, yeah, we had bigger ones, so this is fine. Yeah,
at least you know what to do.
Yeah, yeah.
And at least you had another battery, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It would have been real bad had there not been another battery. Do you have a DC input for your camera?
I do, but it's this really weird adapter, and we only have one, and it's never here whenever the stream starts. So,
yeah. Amazon and a lockbox might fix that.
And Balu in chat is saying, did I remember to log out and back in again? I actually did, thanks to you, thanks to all of you who reminded me of Twitter. It was so funny after the day after the stream, people were like, remember to log out and log in, because it always logs me out during the stream, the 2-week period on Google.
Yes. When I started seeing those messages, I definitely chuckled last Thursday, or two Thursdays ago. So,
yeah.
Yes, fantastic. Okay, so let's move on to our Prusa Live Show Us Your Prints competition for the week.
Yes.
We got some really great ones this week. Super excited about it.
So the first one is very good timing with this print. I don't know how are people watching Loki. But it's by Barry Webb. I believe Barry already won some prize.
Yes, Barry has won in the past. But yes, he has this Loki, again, perfect timing with the season finale today.
Wonderful MMU print.
Yeah.
Yes. Of course,
modeled by Vexter, who we had. I believe Vexter is in the chat. Oh, yeah, he is.
He normally is around.
Yeah.
I will say the lips are a bit red. It's a bit lipsticky there. With
I mean I don't want to spoil, but this is definitely there were in the show there were some weirder Lokis.
Yes, there were.
Yeah,
I haven't seen the last episode yet.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
I want to watch it.
I want to watch it after the stream.
That's my plan for tonight.
I love the show. Yeah. It is wonderful. But I've heard how many episodes are in this season? Just six?
Six, I believe. Yeah.
I hate this. Yeah. Why do they do this? Yeah. Is it like the thing that you know another six episodes come out in like half?
I don't think if ever more episodes. I mean, I haven't seen the final, so it's hard to say if it's like a cliffhanger. But it's
a mini series. I bet it's one of their. I would say it's the second best show they have there after Mandalorian.
Tom Hiddleston is.
Loki has been my favorite for sure.
Same.
Yeah.
So they must make more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Moving to number two. In our contest.
Before we talk about Loki,
it's just exciting to talk about
15 minutes of the show.
It's by Mr. Flibble, real Mr. Flibble, and
Tintin.
Tintin, yeah, the classic Tintin, and really nice print again.
Yeah.
On the Prusa Mini too, it looks huge, but it's printed in, I think that's a tweet below it, multiple parts.
Right.
And each properly documented.
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually, thumbs up for that.
What was that, Joe? What did you say?
Documented the parts printed on the build plate.
Yeah, and the way this is designed, they go together so well, it actually looks like an MMU print rather than separate parts.
Totally looks like an MMU print, but it isn't, so...
Yeah. I mean, the first giveaway is the mini, right? And then he's too tall.
Yeah.
But
on the right corner, you can see a mosaic test.
You've got a good point there.
So he does have some MMU capability.
So Mr. Flibble.
Huh? Who knows?
What is the answer?
Anyway, really nice job. So that's your number two. And we're moving to the first place.
Number one. I love the pose on number one. Am I doing this right?
Yeah, so it's by Gilibar, and it's the 3D sets model that they put on Prusa printers, the Jeep.
Nice Jeep. I just got a Jeep a couple weeks ago.
Oh, fantastic.
Rubicon. But it's already in service. Yeah, if you forget to turn it off overnight, then you can't start it with like starter cables. So they had
really
yeah, and they had to tow it.
Doesn't sound like a Jeep.
I was surprised.
Yeah, but
back to the print. Yeah. It is wonderful.
It looks very nice.
Yeah.
It's pretty huge and quite a few parts, so we can see that. Gilly has two printers to tackle that.
But yes, love seeing it rock climbing over the printers. That's definitely a way to have it on the print bed for sure.
The pose is really fun.
Yeah.
Am I doing this right?
Right.
I mean, I guess. Not exactly what we had in mind, but the result is really cool. So yes,
right.
You are.
Yeah. It's a very cool model, very cool print. well-deserved win for the week. So yeah, thank you, Gilly. For all of you that won, shoot me a DM over Twitter, and I'll try to DM you guys too. But if you're not following me, make sure to DM me, and we'll get in touch and get you your filament. So wonderful.
Yeah, and yeah, this model is on. Is it the Lundy Mini? Maybe it's not the Lundy. No, it's a Jeep. The Rancher. Maybe.
Yeah. That I think that's the model. This one just doesn't have the roof on.
Yeah. Maybe he bought one of the other models from 3D sets. It's possible. Yeah. So there are the Lundy is the full model is on Prusa printers. So you can print something and get really a taste of how awesome the models are.
Yeah, and this one is very nice.
Yeah.
As a gift.
Yeah.
And they have additional models on their site. Okay.
Very neat.
So,
all right. So we have like 10 minutes left for questions.
I can't remember. It was someone in the very even before the stream started was asking about Prusament, PC blend, carbon fiber. So it will be on the eShop like restocked about the end of the next week.
Yeah. There is problem with availability of most of the polymers.
Yeah.
I mean, we were lucky. Just with the PLA, some company folded, so we were able to get 60 tons of PLA.
Ah.
Yeah, but it is crazy nowadays. Polycarbonate, everything is out of stock.
PLA is back in town.
Yeah.
I mean, for a bit anyway.
Yeah, I mean, 60 tons isn't that much.
Yeah, it's gonna disappear like that. Yeah. I assume. Yeah. Yeah, we should restock most colors. Like, I mean, I don't know if by next week, but yeah, slowly we just cycle through the colors when we have the polymer, which we don't always have. But yeah, we have questions about Prusa Connect. So as you might have noticed, we have the closed beta, and some of the testers started posting first pictures. So
really?
Yeah, I know. Pooch from Repcord shared some screenshots.
Yeah. Oh.
And Tom Jackson as well shared the Prusa language. It's a thing I keep hearing a lot. Like, there's a confusion about Prusa Connect and Prusa Link and what is what. So there's both, like, a local service that runs in your network that, you know, you type the IP in your local network and you connect to Prusa Link. And then there's Prusa Connect, which is the, you know, thing that manages multiple. It doesn't talk to just one printer. It talks to multiple. bless
yeah.
you.
Yeah, so the Prusa Link is more like Octoprint.
Yeah, and Prusa Connect is like bigger than that. It manages many printers, and yeah, it's just different. And the roadmap, and like the closest info is, of course, we will be polishing it based on the feedback from the testers, and we will expand the pool of the testers, but I don't think not right now, because it would just make the channel more spammy. We have the feedback for now, so
yeah. We if you have a larger print farm of our printers, just let us know. We might add you to the beta, but we are now looking for the people who are running farms.
Maybe Wi-Fi support for the Mini. I don't want to like hype it too much, but I think there's a Mini somewhere that's connected to the internet right now over Wi-Fi. But
oh, really?
So it is. Yeah, that one.
Oh.
Yeah. So progress is happening, but I don't want to hype it too soon because there's still like it boots the Prusa Link, the local web, but it doesn't. You can't add it to Prusa Connect or stuff like that at the moment, so...
Yeah, just the same stuff it does over Ethernet.
Yeah, basically. And not even, like, 100% still needs some tuning. Sorry about that, but progress is happening.
I have two Mark IIIs and Mini. I call it the farm.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Uh, So the Prusa Connect monthly fees. It will be free with the printer, the basic stuff, and we are just, you know, right now thinking about how we will do it. If you didn't get, we are not sure if we will be supporting printers not made by us yet, or if it will be for a fee, because we need the consistency to be able to do it. But, you know, if you want to store a lot of G codes on the server, maybe we will charge for that. But nothing set in concrete. And we will also be making a version for companies and schools which don't want to have everything in the cloud. Some companies really don't like that. So there's a lot of stuff on the plate.
Yeah. You will learn more as it starts rolling out and as we polish it more and get it closer to being in the first version published. Is Prusalink a cloud or local solution like Octoframe? Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm talking about. It is a little bit confusing. So we have both, basically. We have a local thing and we have a cloud thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Definitely some confusion. I understand that. So we will eventually, everyone will go through it and it will be clear.
Maybe a rename might make sense. Prusa Connect local, versus Prusa Connect or something.
You mean like we had it before?
Yeah, we had it before, but
okay.
Turned out it was also confusing, but in different ways. So yeah.
Yes.
You can. It's
just, you can never win, right?
Yeah. In case you missed it in the beginning, the SL1S is shipping, so that's happening, and we will have a shipping table on our help docs, because we stopped shipping the SL1 before the release to, you know, people would be a little bit sad to get the old model, so
yeah,
we are going through the queue right now. I mean, we still have a few minutes left. I don't see like that many questions that we can really answer. I mean, will the Mark III S get a color display? Yeah, I mean, if we release the next printer in the series, there will be most likely an upgrade, but yeah. When it's ready, it's ready.
Yeah, difficult year to release new products.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The first batch of PC Blend had an extremely coarse surface on both the filament and the finished print. That's just, I mean, how it looks. It, like, I think the filament looks rough. That's true, but
The strands are the same each batch.
Yeah. I like that about it.
Yeah.
It gives it like texture.
Yeah, that's more. You know, it is a little bit crazy, but most of the people I know who print with carbon fiber filaments are not doing that because of the mechanical properties, but because how it looks.
Yeah, it has matte, slightly textured look,
right?
Which just looks so professional.
Milan Fawn asked if we've ever tried printing with chocolate. He tried today and it went wrong. Go back and watch our Cocoa Press Prusa Live video and see the amazing chocolate printing that the Cocoa Press team is doing.
Could we get some kind of analytic statistics for Prusa printers? That would be cool to be able to see how, like, more detailed statistics on your designs. It's something we would like to do. I don't think it's in the queue, like, immediately like done soon, but it's definitely on our to-do list, basically.
Olive says he loves how PCCF sounds when you drop it on the table. Yeah, which
that's what Joe was showcasing.
Joe was tinking it when we
it's like ceramics.
Yeah, it sounds really cool.
Very cool. Let's see, we've got time for probably one more.
Yeah, maybe like one or two more. Do we have anything on Twitter? I don't remember seeing any questions there.
Discord's kind of quiet too.
Yeah. SL1 has shipping status.
I mean, it's summer. It's summer. Everyone enjoys their time, you know.
Totally good. Yeah.
The summer, the time between the lockdowns.
SL1 has shipping. I don't know about the upgrades. I guess they are shipping as well. Maybe not yet.
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know from top of my head, but it should
be. It will definitely be in the shipping table.
Yeah, but it should be the same.
Yeah. Is your supply chain catching up at all? Are we catching
up? Oh, yeah. Well, everything is fucked.
Yeah.
Keep it a family friendly.
I mean, sorry. Yeah. I mean, to keep the factory running, it is a tough job. So our buyers are doing as best as they can. But if you are trying to prototype something, by the time you verify the part, you know, the lead time is like 58 weeks and stuff like that. So, yeah. So definitely it will be interesting challenge to put out a few more products this year.
I keep seeing, I was talking to my wife about it yesterday, that there seems to be a new genre of like YouTube videos out there that are basically like, what is the next thing in the supply chain that is going to completely like fall apart? And
please no.
And like, it's
so,
just.
So basically we are sending trucks for some of the parts we are getting from China. We are sending trucks there.
Yeah. What?
Yeah. We usually use train.
Right. Apparently the problem is that we're running out of rubber, though, and so soon the trucks aren't going to have tires anymore. and so, yeah, that was one of the more recent things that I saw is going wrong globally. Yeah, but
I'm remodeling my flat, and that's also bonkers, too.
On that not so high note, that is our show for the week. Thank you all for joining us. We really appreciate you guys being here and spending your time with us. So until 2 weeks, stay safe, keep printing, and we will see you guys later. So thank you.
See you in the next one. Bye.